Jim Davis and cake. Who doesn't love cake? Come on. Particularly in birthday week, right?
Yes.
Are you one of those people that it's your birthday, but it's your birthday for like 2 weeks or a month? Or...
Oh, God, no. I will say this. I have been doing some, I guess you could call it retail therapy.
Okay, nothing wrong with that.
You know, I mean, it's getting
well, long as you can afford it, that's just, yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
Getting your own birthday presents is a little cathartic. Yesterday, bought MLB The Show, the video game for the Xbox.
Good for you. Good
it
job.
Was so playing as the Rockies.
Uh-huh.
It presents its own challenges.
Well, tell me more. Do tell. What challenges does it pose?
Of course, it throws me into the first game because what it'll ask you to do is that you can kind of customize like how you want to kind of play the game, which I think is really cool. So I had my settings, and then it's like, all right, now play a game. And of course, the first game is against the Dodgers. I'm like, all right. Yeah,
thanks cool. a lot.
All right, Clayton Kershaw, here we go. So I'm pitching lights out with Herman Marquez. 8 innings, 15 strikeouts, like 2-3 hits. I could not hit out of a sopping wet paper bag.
Yikes.
So the good news was, after giving up a late home run to make it 1-0 Dodgers, I brought in pinch hitter Ryan McMahon. The leadoff guy got a walk, and then Rymack steps up, hits a Rymack jack to left in the eighth. Final score in Cake's first video game baseball, 2-1.
Rockies Cakes over the Dodgers. Rockies win.
Yes. It was quintessential Colorado Rockies. The starting pitching is doing great. The offense couldn't do squat for 8 straight innings, but by sheer dumb luck, somehow pulled it off.
Congratulations on Thank that that first big win.
Thank you. I will say, first trial run.
Jeff Breidich might be calling you to run their analytics department. Might be in charge of the draft.
Listen, it would be high on his list. Probably not the highest, but definitely high on the list of dumb decisions he will have made. But I will take full advantage.
Get your Trust own. Me. I'd like a corner office, please.
Oh, corner office.
Own parking.
Parking space.
Yeah.
You know, the works. It'd be great.
And not long after that, they'd hand Breidich a cup and say, fill this up, Mr. Breidich. We got to see what's going on with you. What kind of extracurricular activity are you involved with in your office?
Head of scouting and now head of the PED testing department.
Oh, well, congratulations on that initial win. Congratulations. All right. So I did play a little patchy for you. It's Friday. We're on the doorstep of the weekend. Weather's looking nice here in the Valley. So that's fantastic.
Should be a nice night for baseball.
Or soccer over at CMU, over at Maverick Field, Maverick Men and Regis, 7 o'clock tonight. Of course, get over to Saplesio, start of that series with New Mexico Highlands. We'll have it on the team. CMU Sports Network, 5:45 tonight. The Mavericks taking on New Mexico Highlands. And also want to give a little shout-out. We did this earlier this morning to the Delta Boys soccer team. Congratulations to the Panthers. Moving on, the 3A state tournament, they beat Atlas Prep 1-0 in double overtime Thursday. They lost to Atlas Prep in the last postseason they played in, 7-0. Johnny Gassin scoring the game winner as Delta will play at Fort Collins tomorrow against second-seeded Liberty Common. Montrose and 4A. Because just those two teams made the postseason from the Western Slope in soccer. Montrose lost to Battle Mountain 5-0. But congratulations to the Delta soccer team on their big postseason win yesterday. All right, 9:04. We've been talking NFL draft today. Most notably, Broncos' biggest draft bust, but also biggest draft bust in NFL history. Now, we had somebody that mentioned earlier, Tony Mandarich. It was middle school Mike that mentioned Tony Mandarich. And we'll have the list coming up from The Athletic. We'll see if where Tony Mandarich is on that list.
He's pretty high, I'm sure.
We will find out.
Okay.
I'm going to poker face it here.
Just tease it.
Just like George Payton. I'm not going to tell you anything. So we'll have that coming up in just a moment. Let's we got Steve, who sent in Ted Gregory, which we talked about in hour one. And they kind of, with most Broncos experts, Ted Gregory, the worst pick ever.
What?
Because he never played for Denver.
Right. And I was going to say, what I think also makes that even worse is the fact that there was seemingly very little accurate scouting done on him. And that they kind of went in blind saying, oh, well, this is what we think we know about him. Saying he's 6'1", and then he shows up to camp only 5'9", and that he's got all these knee problems. And then so I think that's where you go. That was probably among several reasons why he's probably considered the biggest bust, is just because they didn't get the right scouting on him.
Because back then, scouting isn't what it is now. No chance to see him at the combine or pro day or things right. Like that. So we got the Steve to Steve connection here. Go from Steve Smith to Steve Siminer. Steve suggested Jeff Garland for Bill Belichick. He's on that horrible show about the 80s. He has that look, though.
Oh, yeah, the Goldbergs?
The Goldbergs, which I've watched like 5 minutes of it one time. I went, okay, I'm good. I'm all right. Lived in the 80s, went through the 80s. Don't need to watch a TV show.
Don't need to hit the rewind
on that. Steve also says Jarvis Moss was underwhelming, and no Sean Moreno for the 12th pick in the draft was mediocre at best. But they did get some value out of him finally when PFM got there, right?
Right. And he was, I don't think he was ever, and of course, now the philosophy has since changed. Unless you're getting a once in a generational talent, the odds are good that you're probably not going to take a running back top 10 or even now top 20.
Right.
Back then, you know, no Sean Moreno was a tough, really tough running back. I think
good receiver out of the backfield, played with Matthew Stafford at Georgia.
I was going to say he was from that same draft class or from that same
AJ Green. I think might have been a little bit after that. I think I'm trying to remember if AJ Green was there at that time. I think Green might have been there at the same time as no Sean Moreno. But no Sean Moreno in his, you know, career with the Broncos did have a 1,000-yard season in 2013. He also had that year, I'm trying to see what the receiving numbers were. It ended up with what?
So
not a ton of receiving yards, but he was a guy that could catch the ball in the backfield.
This is his career numbers. 876 carries, 3,616 yards, 27 rushing touchdowns. Receiving, he had 158 catches for 1,409 yards and 9 touchdowns. That's in his career from 2009 to 2014. Played in 63 right. games.
Yeah, and it was AJ Green, no Sean Moreno, Matthew Stafford.
That's a stacked team.
Think about those three guys played for Georgia.
That's three first round picks.
Yeah. So I can't. Well, Steve, I agree with you that no Sean Moreno did not live up to the 12th overall pick in the draft. To say he was a bust might be a stretch. Underwhelming, underperforming for his draft slot. I'll agree with you on that. All right. So let's see. What else? We have another one here. We've got, let's see. Harry Cologne, 91 draft pick by the Patriots. Mr. Irrelevant that year.
Again, though, Mr. Irrelevant, last pick in the draft. How much are you really expecting him?
Exactly.
You know, it's like Chad Kelly, right? Like,
yeah, he's Mr. Irrelevant. Broncos selected him, and it, you know, never worked out.
So, if you will humor me, so I was looking through some of the Broncos at Pro Football Reference stats and their history of draft picks. Pretty extensive list. Looking at some of the first round picks, because I think to be a true bust, you need to be a first round pick.
Absolutely. You've got to be a first round pick.
All right. So we'll start fairly recently. I think obviously most people will point to Paxton Lynch as being a bust.
Correct.
Year before that, 2015, Shane Ray. Now, see, you can make the case because he was taken first round. He only played 4 years, but in those 4 years, he He had 14 sacks. He had one season where he had 8 sacks, but just never really, like, flourished.
I would say he probably is a bust. Yeah, I mean, the lack of production.
Yeah.
The shortened career from an injury standpoint. Yeah, I can't disagree with that he was a bust who underperformed dramatically.
Now, this is interesting because he was on the roster this past season after bouncing around a couple teams. So I don't know if you can call him a bust if he's still in the league. But 2013 first round pick, defensive tackle Sylvester Williams. Very meh, unimpressive stats. And I mean, maybe that's just the nature of the position he plays. But to think about the kind of depth that the Broncos defensive line has had in the last few years, he's middle to lower of end of the pack.
I would say a bust when you're spending a first round pick on a defensive tackle and he is numbers have been meh.
Yeah.
At best. But it's also, don't we feel like, though, we tend to categorize busts as, if it's a guy like Sylvester Williams, a guy that, like Gregory, physically didn't live up to the expectations, injuries played a role in that, you know, that from the physical standpoint, that they just, they played very, or like Jarvis Moss, played very little.
Right.
And then you have guys like a Paxton Lynch, where the expectation level is going to be your franchise quarterback. You traded up. You made a move upward in this draft. You gave up assets to get that guy because that guy was going to solve your quarterback problems, and he was going to be your long-term solution to those problems. And look, we know that the quarterback is king.
It's vital.
And to me, when you trade up, guy doesn't deliver, that's a different, it's almost like busts. There are different kinds of busts.
Right.
There are guys that are, they fit into the bust category, but they still, like no Sean Moreno, still had a 1,000-yard season 1 year, was on some winning teams there at the end for the Broncos when PFM was there. And so there's that sense, at least he had some years we consider, or a year we considered a pretty good season.
Right.
Like what Ashley Lee had, a 1,000-yard receiving season.
Right.
But still, considering where you drafted them, that would still make them bust material. But all busts, this sounds, Pyle, I know where your mind's going to go.
Careful.
This. Not all busts are the same. They're not. Some are bigger than others. Some are smaller than others. Get your minds out of the gutter.
So you can pose the question, does the fact that draft pick, now it is now considered a bust, you can ask the question, does them being, how much damage to the franchise does them being a bust give or mean?
Ted Gregory, not really that big of a deal. It was defensive tackle. Yeah, you burned a first round pick on him. I have to look back and see who got drafted, where the Broncos, who got drafted after him. Which I'd have to go back and look and see at that draft. Who do they miss on? I mean, and that's some of the right stuff that Jared's referring to, like with, for example, they drafted Lalee, but they could have drafted Ed Reed. Ed Reed, Hall of Fame safety, would have made a lot of sense for the Broncos.
Right.
Guys they passed on. That's part of the evaluation of a bust too, is who did they pass on to take that guy?
And so with the Broncos, Ted Gregory, 1988 draft. So 88 was a pretty, from what I remember, pretty stacked draft. They could have had, so the pick right after Gregory was Wendell Davis for the Bears.
Which, okay.
5-year career. Chris Spielman
would have been good.
Eric Allen. Icky Woods
had a stretch there, but still some people kind of, he was almost like flash in the pan, had a couple of really good seasons, and then obviously went right in the crapper.
Some of these hurt. Thurman Thomas
would have been sensational.
Dermoni Dawson
would have been sensational.
You go into the...
Brian Blythe's a pretty good receiver for a little stretch of time. Broncos eventually got Michael Dean Perry.
Eventually. Trying to look at the third round. Eventually, we got Bill Romanowski, but he was drafted in 88 by the 49ers.
So, James Hasty, a pretty good cornerback. You know, at that time, Denver wasn't looking for a quarterback. You know, Chris Chandler, who they faced in the Super Bowl,
right,
with the Falcons.
It's funny you mentioned that, quarterbacking. So there's a couple of quarterbacks that I think we can safely put into the bust category for the Broncos. One of them, got to go all the way back to 1992, Tommy Maddox.
Yeah.
First rounder. Played mostly behind Elway. Didn't really fare it in Denver. He had some mild success in Pittsburgh later, but then was ultimately replaced.
Wait a minute. Won an XFL title with the LA Extreme.
True.
That's a championship caliber quarterback.
My bad. I forgot to acknowledge his...
Look, dumb for Tommy Maddox to leave UCLA early because he wasn't ready. Dumb for Dan Reeves. That was Dan Reeves throwing his little fit.
Right.
Mad at Elway because Elway didn't like the relationship with Elway and Shanahan. And he, I'm gonna go get my own guy.
Get my own quarterback.
Yeah, which is stupid. That's when they talked about trading him to the Redskins.
That's right.
Thank God that never happened.
Now, I'm genuinely surprised, and I think I may know why his name has not yet come up, but if we're looking from a purely statistical standpoint... There's a quarterback that I think fits very, very well into the bust category. He's a left-hander. He wears number 15, a Heisman winner.
First-round pick.
One Timothy Robert Edward St. Patrick Tebow. Hmm. Now, Tebow mania notwithstanding, the guy couldn't throw a football.
Well, you throw it. You just didn't know where it was going to go. That was the problem.
You didn't know where it was going, where it was going to end up, if it was going to be even remotely close to a spiral.
Very true.
Again, Tebow mania that season, which still, and yes, we have the Super Bowl 50 season. We have Peyton Manning's record-breaking year in 2013 where he threw for over 5,500 yards and 55 touchdowns. Still to this day, one of my favorite all-time Broncos seasons is the Tebow season because of how crazy it was and how stressful, sure, but how fun it was too.
So every week it was like Forrest Gump. It was like a box of chocolates.
You just did
not know what you're going to get.
So that
where did you get the two completion game against Kansas City?
And they won.
Because one of them went to Decker for a 55-yard touchdown.
Right.
Because the Chiefs are like, he's not going to throw it. That's a game Sean Moreno got hurt. I mean, got injured in that game.
That sounds right.
And so he only completed like two passes, but one of them was for a long touchdown, and they beat the Chiefs. And
we all know the playoff game against the Steelers. So again, you get a playoff win as a starting quarterback. Does that automatically immune you from bust? Labeling. I don't know.
Not the biggest bust in Broncos history, but would be on the list.
And if you think about it too, the question is, as a bust, how much damage was done by him being a quote-unquote bust? It actually probably paid dividends because you had a team that went 8-8 and still won the AFC West. John Fox, his first year as head coach, it set the bar for you've got a team that is capable of winning with Tim Tebow, but John Elway is courting one Peyton Manning to come to Denver, and sure enough, next year, Peyton steps in, and you have now a four-time consecutive AFC West championship team with two Super Bowl appearances. And, you know, Peyton Manning shatters every quarterbacking record in the books. So Tim Tebow may have done more good than harm in the long term than most of these other busts on this list.
Here's some guys that they passed on that were there to take when they took Tebow. Okay. 24th in the draft, by the way.
Okay.
25th in the draft.
Because Demaryius Thomas was 22, and he was pretty good.
Right. Let's see. Devin McCourty, pretty good cornerback.
Yeah.
Jerry Hughes, not a bad defensive lineman.
No.
Roger Saffold, offensive line, okay. Rob Gronkowski.
Ooh, that one hurts. That one hurts.
Let's see. They also passed on Carlos Dunlap.
Yeah, that one stings.
Golden Tate, which is okay.
They had some pretty good receivers, though, anyway, so I think they would have been okay.
Sean Lee, that played linebacker for the Cowboys, when healthy, he's really good. But
that one stung a little bit.
Let's see. They also passed on... I'm looking here to see.
That 2010 draft was pretty...
Emmanuel Sanders, who they eventually got. They eventually got.
Picked him up anyway.
Let's see. I think that's pretty much Jimmy Graham. Yeah, those are some of the guys they passed on.
Just some.
Also, Aaron Hernandez.
Now, see, that one I'm kind of glad we passed on him.
It probably worked out okay. Probably worked out all right. Okay, we went a little long here, but that's all right.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. That's fine. We will take a break. We'll come back, and we'll get to the Athletic and who they think are the biggest busts in NFL history. And right on cue, Middle School Mike, with the kind of text I expect from Middle School Mike. We will take a break. We'll come back and talk more draft busts for the Broncos and the league. That's on the way next on the Jim Davis Show.
Yeah, I think they're like the best on the radio.
At least at the pro level, the best of the best.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
925, Jim along with Cake today. Quick reminder, Played Again Sports, their grand opening started yesterday out at Valley Plaza. So get out there and check out Play It Again Sports. And like I said, look in Valley Plaza. They have a big giveaway that they're doing. You can go out there and register for that. So make sure you check it out at Play It Again Sports.
And look for Jim Davis's kayak at some point.
At some point.
Coming to the store near you.
May not be this weekend. Maybe you'll see. So where things are going. I got to get over to Don to have him take a look at it. But yes, yeah, the kayak, which we thought, we're going to get into kayaking. It's going to be fun. And
nope.
We're like, I'm not so sure I want to do this. So. Anyway, gently used kayak. But lots of great sporting goods over at Play It Again Sports in the Valley Plaza over by Mesa Mall. All right, let's get some music to kind of set the stage here.
All righty.
And this is the Athletic's biggest bust in NFL history. Oh, by the way, yes, I'm Middle School Mike. Very true, Jim. Not all busts are the same, but we must talk about them. And big or small, we love them all the same. Yeah, thank you. Exactly what I expected from Middle School Mike. Ryan Leaf was a Dolly Parton-sized bust from Terry today. All right, let's get to it. Here's the Athletic's list. And they did 32 players. We'll just go through some of these quickly that are up until number 10. Number 32, Derek Sherrod, Green Bay Packers. Offensive tackle, drafted 2011 out of Mississippi State. Started a single game in his 20 career appearances, most of it on special teams. They released him in 2014. Packers selected Sherrod instead of Pro Bowlers Kyle Rudolph and Rodney Hudson.
Ooh, ow.
31, Trezell Jenkins, Kansas City Chiefs, offensive tackle, Michigan. Jenkins played 9 games, no starts, and 3 seasons with the Chiefs. Ended up getting drafted by the XFL San Francisco Demons, and he didn't even make that team. So the Chiefs, they passed out on Ty Law and Derek Brooks.
Whoops.
Also, they could have used one of their third or fourth round picks on Terrell Davis.
Nope.
But they didn't. Thank goodness. He went to Denver, and the rest is history. Andre Johnson, offensive tackle from Penn State. And Andre Johnson, let's see, 96 draft, by the way, drafted by Washington. And according to the story that Charlie Casserly, who now does analyst work for NFL Network, he was a GM in Washington that time, had drawn the ire of Bill Belichick, traded a third-round pick to move up from 37 to select Johnson. The Penn State product never played a down for Washington, only played three games in his entire career. That was in 98 with the Lions. So, Charlie Casserly skipped on Mike Alstott,
oof,
Tony Brackens, and Lawyer Malloy.
Ooh.
Also, Brian Dawkins.
Hey, not good.
Not good. 29, Isaiah Wilson, Tennessee Titans 2020 draft, Georgia offensive tackle. Appeared in just the one game for the Titans, who suspended him for a violation of team rules and had enough of his off-field problems, including a September DUI. Another incident in January, the high-speed chase. They traded him to the Dolphins. The Dolphins released him 3 days later after he skipped workouts.
Oops.
Yeah. 28, Andre Wolfolk. Tennessee Titans cornerback at Oklahoma 2003. Started just 12 of 39 career games for the Titans. Only had three career picks. And all against David Carr, one of the all-time great NFL busts. So they passed on Nnamdi Asamoah, Charles Tillman, Rasheen Matthews, and Asante Samuel. 27, guy whose name will always live in infamy. And sadly, Colorado is a tie to this guy. Ray Carruth, wide receiver, Carolina Panthers. 97 draft out of the University of Colorado. Carruth released from prison back in 2018 after he served nearly 19 years for conspiring to murder his pregnant girlfriend and permanently disabling their unborn son. Caught 62 passes in parts of three seasons with the Panthers. Panthers selected him one pick before. The Broncos took Pro Bowl defensive tackle Trevor Price and left second rounders Tiki Barber, Corey Dillon, and Sam Madison. All three guys were Pro Bowlers. 26, Ted Gregory.
There it
Denver
is.
Denver Broncos selection, 1988. We need to say no more than that. Johnny Rogers, 25th in this list. Nebraska wide receiver. Drafted in 1973 by the San Diego Chargers. And Johnny Rogers in Nebraska, he's a Nebraska legend.
Oh, you go to Nebraska, there's, you know, pictures of Johnny Rogers hanging up in Nebraska restaurants everywhere.
So, I mean, Heisman Trophy winner in 72. Chargers were outbid for Rogers' services by Montreal in the CFL. Rogers had a really good career in Canada when he was among one of the best players in the league, 74 Grey Cup. He finally joined the Chargers in 77.
And?
But by that time, hamstring and knee injuries held him to 17 catches in 17 games. Chargers passed. Well, they drafted Rogers one pick before Hall of Fame guard Joe DeLaMalier of the Buffalo Bills, the electric company that paved the way for O.J. Simpson's the historic 2,000-yard rushing season.
Yeah.
So Johnny Rogers, definitely a Chargers bust, but as a pro football player, had a good career in Canada.
If you think Canadian football is pro football, sure.
Well, and I do.
That was needlessly mean.
It's not the NFL. It's not college, but I like me some CFL.
That was just me being
that was not nice. Try to be nice to our friends up in Canada.
What are they going
to
do, invade?
Probably not, no. But I
sorry, Canada.
I have respect for the Canadian game.
It is actually quite fun
and you
to watch.
Should too, sir. Wow. Todd Marinovich at number 24. Drafted by the LA Raiders, USC quarterback, 91 draft, had off-the-field drug issues. Of course, the story was about him being the robo QB, the making him a perfect athlete by his dad, Marv Marinovich, former NFL player. And nine picks after Marinovich, the Falcons drafted Brett Favre.
But he never stayed in Atlanta.
He did not. Ended up going to Green Bay. Or it worked out pretty darn well for the Packers.
Yeah.
23, William Tim Anderson, San Francisco 49ers, Ohio State cornerback, 1971. Niners coming off their first NFC Championship game appearance. They took Anderson, but like Johnny Rogers, took the money and ran. That's back when the CFL was willing to spend a little money.
Right.
Outbid the NFL for players. Anderson goes to play in Toronto. Anderson finally reported to the Niners in 75. Only played there one season. They took Anderson instead of Hall of Famers Jack Hamm and Dan Dierdorf.
Oh.
Along with second-round Pro Bowlers Julius Adams and Phil Villapiano. Number 22, Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel, Texas A&M quarterback, drafted by the Browns in 2014, 2012 Heisman Trophy winner. We know the story well. Partying, drug use, off-the-field issues galore, domestic violence indictment as well. And so they draft Manziel, and they bypass quarterbacks Derek Carr, which would have been far better for the Browns.
Yeah.
Teddy Bridgewater would have been better. Devontae Adams, Allen Robinson, Jarvis Landry, who they eventually got anyway as a free agent.
Picked him up anyway.
Got him as a free agent. Took a while, but he got there. 21, Gabe Rivera, no, the number 21 spot, Gabe Rivera, Pittsburgh Steelers, defensive tackle, Texas Tech, 83 draft. Rivera had 2 sacks in his first 6 games, but then paralyzed in a car accident when he was drunk behind the wheel.
Oh.
83, the year of the quarterbacks.
Was this the... This was when Pittsburgh missed on drafting Dan Marino.
That would be correct.
Out of Pittsburgh.
Out of Pitt. Yeah, out of Pittsburgh. One of the biggest, greatest second guesses in Steelers history. Because they would have had their replacement for Terry Bradshaw. It was starting to break down at that time.
Yeah.
Number 20, Ken Novak, Baltimore Colts, defensive tackle. Played at Purdue in the 1986 draft. And so they select him in the 1976 draft, excuse me. Novak started just 2 of 23 games over 2 seasons and then was out of the league. They passed on Hall of Famers Jackie Slater, Harry Carson, and Steve Largent. Way to go, Baltimore Colts.
Good job.
Number 19, Tony Smith, Atlanta Falcons, 1992 draft running back out of Southern Mississippi. They took him. He had 87 carries, 329 yards. This is where they sent Brett Favre to the Packers for this pick.
Oh. Bad move.
And so he had those numbers as a rookie, didn't touch the ball ever again, and then he was gone. So not only did they trade a future Hall of Famer in Brett Favre to the Packers for that pick, they also passed on Carl Pickens, Jimmy Smith, Darren Woodson, LaVon Kirkland.
Not good.
Not that those guys would have been Favre replacement equivalent.
It would have been better.
But would have been better than what they got from who they drafted there with Tony Smith. Number 18, Rocky Thompson, the Giants, West Texas A&M running back, 1971. Thompson had a fairly good rookie season, not brilliant, but 262 yards and a touchdown. Next 2 seasons, 14 carries for 40 yards and never played again after 1973.
Yeah.
And they say in this that Steve Schindler, which we referenced earlier, the Broncos drafted, probably would have been on this list, but Rocky Thompson beats them out. By the way, the Giants took him before Pro Bowl safety Jack Tatum, 2 picks before Hall of Fame defensive end Jack Youngblood, also passed on Jack Hamm and Dan Dierdorf.
Ouch.
Number 17, Clyde Duncan, St. Louis Cardinals, Tennessee wide receiver, not 84 draft. Duncan, 4 catches, 39 yards, and a touchdown before the Cardinals released him, never played again. Cardinals took him before Louis Lips, Offensive Rookie of the Year with the Steelers, and a first-team All-Pro in his first 2 seasons with Pittsburgh. Number 16, Mark's brother Dan McGuire, San Diego State quarterback, drafted by the Seahawks in 91. And the debate was Dan McGuire, Brett Favre, on who you're going to take. Well, they took Dan McGuire, and we know what happened with Brett Favre. Dan McGuire, one of the tallest quarterbacks in NFL history, by the way. Like 6'8", 6'9", something like that.
Dang.
And so, yes, they take Dan McGuire, and then they ended up, next year they took Rick Meyer with the 2nd pick, and things didn't get any better for the Seahawks.
No.
Yeah, Yetiel Green, Miami Dolphins, Miami wide receiver from the U, 1977. Final career stats, 18 catches, 10 knee surgeries.
Ow.
But at least that year they drafted Jason Taylor in the third round, which made it a little better.
That helps.
Number 14, Bernard Williams, Eagles, 94. Offensive tackle, George. A lot of offensive tackle whiffs in this bust.
Yeah, that's a hard position to evaluate, too. So
Williams started 16 games as a rookie. That's great. So he started every game his rookie campaign.
That's good.
Well, then he failed 15 drug tests and never played again.
15?
15 drug
you
tests.
You drug test a guy 15 times, he fails all of them. First of all, you drug test him like 4 times. How do you not get the message?
So they could have taken Pro Bowlers Todd Stussy or Trey Johnson. Hall of Fame wide receiver Isaac Bruce was in that group. Center Kevin Mawai. Guard Larry Allen.
Oh, boy.
Number 13, Chiefs, 1990. Michigan State linebacker Percy Snow. A heavily decorated college linebacker. Suffered a major knee injury during a moped accident that wiped out his 91 season. Started once over his next two seasons. He was done. Guess who they could have taken? Emmett Smith. He was selected 4 picks later.
Oops.
Number 12, Wendell Bryant, Arizona Cardinals, 2002 draft, defensive tackle, Wisconsin, played in only 29 games over 3 seasons, had a sack and a half, got a DUI charge, also failed drug tests. 2003, 2004, 2005, before they released him. They could have taken Jeremy Shockey, Albert Haynesworth, and Javon Walker were all on the board. Number 11, Russell Erksleben, Saints, 97 draft, punter out of Texas. Yes, they took a punter with the 11th pick.
Oops.
Erksleben, probably his best known moment, threw an overtime interception. It was returned for a touchdown in his debut on a fake punt pass. They could have taken Kellen Winslow and Joe Montana in those spots.
Oops.
Josh Rosen, Arizona Cardinals, 2018 draft, quarterback out of UCLA. We know what has happened there, that Josh Rosen has bounced around the league a little bit. Kevin Allen with the Eagles in 85, offensive tackle out of Indiana. He tested positive for cocaine in training camp and got released in October. Then got charged with rape, sentenced to prison, banned from the NFL. Larry Stegent, St. Louis Cardinals running back from Texas A&M, 1970 draft. Got a knee injury in the preseason. Played just 7 games in 71. They could have taken Mel Blount in the third round that year.
Oh.
The Steelers, great. Reggie Rogers, Lions. This is when Matt Millen was there and they went crazy drafting guys, receivers, and just going nuts. And actually, Reggie Rogers would be defensive tackle. Millen was later, excuse me. Got to correct myself. Matt Millen was later during his time with the Lions. But the Lions have had a history of making bad decisions. Going back to Reggie Rogers, 87 draft, defensive tackle out of Washington, involved in a DUI crash that killed 3 kids, later sent to jail. Got arrested several other times for DUI-related incidents. They could have taken Rod Woodson. They could have also taken Jerome Brown that year as well. Quarterback Rich Campbell, California quarterback, 1981 draft, Green Bay Packers. Campbell, the only player selected in the top 9 never to start a game.
Wow.
Think about that. Never to start a game in the league.
That's terrible. That's all just right. Terrible.
This is terrible. Justin Blackmon, Jags, 2012, wide receiver, Oklahoma State. He was a bust. Let's see who they could have taken. They could have taken, let's see.
I think that was
linebacker Mike Junkin. They could have selected Trev Alberts, running back Curtis Enos. Were all far more productive than Justin Blackmon was for the Jags back in 2012. They also took him over Luke Kuechly, Stephon Gilmore, and Fletcher Cox.
Oops.
No, pardon me. Those guys, excuse me. These were players in the past, Junkin, Alberts, and Enos that weren't there in the same year. All players that were taking some bad picks at the number 5 spot, some of the worst ones, were those guys, excuse me. Got
your wires crossed a little bit.
Fletcher Cox and Stephon Gilmore were the guy, and Luke Kuechly, most notably Luke Kuechly, the guys that they passed over for Justin Blackmon. Arch Schleister, Colts, 82 draft, quarterback, Ohio State. Schleister started 6 games, all losses, threw 3 touchdown passes, 11 picks, and Schleister went on to get thrown in the clink for a host of charges related to gambling problems. There's a documentary about him that is a mess. Keely Smith, number 3, Bengals, Oregon quarterback, 1999, won 3 of 17 starts over 4 seasons. They took him over Dante Culpepper. Also, Edgerrin James and Champ Bailey that year. Ryan Leaf's number 2 on this list. Chargers quarterback, 98, Washington State. They passed on Charles Woodson, Randy Moss, Alan Faneca. And Tony Mandrich does get mentioned here, got like honorable mention. But then Mandrich did move to guard, played for the Colts, and actually was okay there, but still a bust since it was a first-round pick. Your number one guy. Want to take a guess who it is?
I'm going to say it's Jamarcus Russell.
Jamarcus Russell's number one. 2007 quarterback out of LSU. Made $40 million over 3 seasons. 25 starts, won 7 games. Completed 52% of his passes, 18 touchdowns, 23 picks. Released by the Raiders in 2010. Never played again. They could have taken Calvin Johnson, Adrian Peterson, Patrick Willis, and Darrell Revis. That they all passed on.
You've heard the story of the coach that sent him the fake tape for him to watch in that whole mess?
Yes, I remember this story. Yes.
So he had...
I vaguely remember it.
For those that weren't aware, it was... And I first heard this when a former Raider teammate of his was filling in on Rich Eisen's show talking about Jamarcus Russell... And how the coaches were really concerned that he wasn't mentally preparing himself for the games. So, the coach sent him home with a blank DVD that the coach said, okay, these are some plays we want to run.
Yeah. Go watch the DVD.
Watch the DVD. Tell me what plays you want to run. Comes back the next day, and the coach asks, okay, did you watch the DVD last night? Yep, watched it last night, coach. Okay, what kind of plays did you see? I'm good with whatever plays you want to run, coach. Good with whatever. And it's that point when coach drops the, that was actually a blank DVD. We know you're lying to us, and we know you're not actually preparing, and you're not actually watching the tape.
It's a terrible draft pick by the Raiders.
Awful.
Terrible pick. All right. So, full credit to The Athletic. They're the ones who compiled that list, and... Well, I'm glad for the Broncos for the most part. Just Ted Gregory, right? So on that list. That's good.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. All right, 9:45. Somebody's going to win Qdoba today. Let's get to this day in sports history. We go to 1950. Detroit Red Wings edged the Rangers 4-3 in Game 7 to win the Stanley Cup. 1969, Jerry West scores 53 points to beat the Lakers in Game 1, or to lead the Lakers to a Game 1 win in the NBA Finals. Let's see, West with the 53 points, a 120-118 win over their longtime rivals, the Celtics. 2008, Cubs win their 10,000th franchise game. Also, 2011, Brandon Roy scores 18 points in the fourth quarter, lead the Blazers past the Mavericks. And it was an 84-82 win, and first round series tied up at 2 games apiece, kind of with the highlight minutes for Brandon Roy, or highlight moments in his career. And that's this day in sports history, 9:46. We'll take a break. We'll hop in the dumpster coming up next. Pick a winner for Qdoba today. Text or call us, 970-242-1340.
Craptastic.
That's just crap.
The team presents The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back in, 950. Jim along with Kate today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Let's see, going from Buffalo, Mark. I'm glad Mark mentioned this one. Tom Cousineau got taken number 1 overall in 79, and he ended up signing with the Montreal Alouettes instead. There was like a big bidding war with the Bills and the Alouettes,
right.
And Alouettes ended up getting Tom Cousineau. Like I said, the 70s, there was a period like with Johnny Rogers and Cousineau where the CFL would occasionally, you know, and then also the World Football League would grab some of the stars of the league, World Football League, with Larry Zonka and Jim Kick and Paul Warfield. But the Canadian Football League would grab, like on occasion, some of the talented college stars that you thought were going to be like a Tom Cousineau, number one pick in the draft. That we're going to play in the NFL. Instead, though, ended up going to play in Canada. All right, 9:51. Let's wrap it up with some garbage time.
We're taking out the trash. It's garbage time on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
Oh, I love trash.
All right, Tom Brady doesn't like the new jersey number rule.
Oh, wah.
Tommy says it's dumb. It's a dumb thing to do because the NFL decided to expand its jersey numbers. And Brady really, really doesn't like it. He took to the internet to put on their dumb. Why not let the linemen wear whatever number they want to? Why have numbers? Just have colored jerseys. Why not wear the same number? Dumb. Good luck trying to block the right people now. Going to make for a lot of bad football. And his issue is this, that linebackers will have different numbers now, and so they have the potential of having different numbers, and it'll be harder for him to call it like the Mike, where the Mike linebacker is, because a lot of that was, okay, this is the number, and this is the, you know, I'm looking for this position with that number on that jersey, and that's part of his issue. And look, the Chiefs brought this up weeks ago.
Yeah.
So why didn't Tom Brady, if he had a problem with this, why didn't Tom Brady start complaining about this weeks ago? This was not something that just suddenly got sprung on Tom Brady.
Right. And what kind of gets lost a little bit is Brady retweeted an article talking about this, his disdain for this new rule change, to which he says, yeah, sort of kind of tongue-in-cheek, I'd like to speak to the manager.
Excuse me. Excuse me.
Okay, Karen.
Excuse me.
Okay. All right. You know, and look, in the interest of full disclosure, at the very beginning, I thought, maybe this is kind of a silly rule. But then I'm thinking about it. I'm going, if it's good enough for high school and college, we can adapt. It's going to be maybe it allows for more player creativity or, you know, it's because what have we always complained about the league? NFL.
No fun league.
This is the sort of one of the, I think, smaller ways the league can try to amend that reputation.
Because linebackers now can wear numbers 1 through 59. And that's where he's going, who's the Mike? Because you're going to have different numbers. Defensive backs can wear 1 through 49 now. You're going to have defensive backs wearing linebacker numbers. Or, you know, and it's 90 through 99, by the way. Linebackers can wear that, but they've already, some of them wear.
And
that's already, yeah.
DeMarcus wears.
Okay, settle down, Tom. Settle down. Do you have anything? Because I have one more thing here.
I do not. You take the floor.
College football making a change. Teams will be required to run 2-point conversion plays in the second extra period. The NCAA Playing Rules Oversight Panel yesterday made that change. Teams will be required to run a 2-point conversion play after touchdown when a game reaches a second overtime. Previously, 2-point attempts were required after the third overtime period. I think it's a great move.
I like it. Good call.
Good move. What do you know? NCAA, a rare time we applaud you. That's a good move. Move that to the second overtime for a 2-point conversion.
So the score now, 255-1.
2-1. No, they probably had one or two more in there that we're not giving them enough credit for. All right. One final thing, too. This is non-sports related. Did you see where there was a plan for the Batman films back in the day when, you know, of course, Michael Keaton was playing Batman, which has now been confirmed. He's going to play Batman in the new Flash movie. It's been out there forever, but now it's been officially confirmed. There was a plan at one point to cast Bill Murray as Batman and Eddie Murphy as Robin. Thank goodness that never happened. That's our show for today. Thanks for joining us. Join us tonight for Colorado Mesa Baseball, Mavericks and New Mexico Islands. Pregame at 5:45 tonight on the team. CMU Sports Network. Jim Rome is up next. Have a great day.